Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, taking a little bit of a break this week and talking more about the faith part of Legacy and Faith.
Right.
And you wanted to address some things that are going on in our world, some big things.
Yeah, and they're happening as we speak even. And so this show, just for listeners to know, will be airing tomorrow on Wednesday. And then there's going to be about a three-day gap for Saturday. And I just want to take a moment and share some of my heart and some of my thoughts about what's happening in the Ukraine. And most specifically, I think that there are many Christians that would like to know, how am I supposed to pray over this circumstance? And, you know, we can say, God bless Ukraine, but I'm not so sure that there's much power and effect in that, because we need to make sure that our prayers are aligning with His will and what God wants to accomplish in every circumstance. So, you know, I look at James 4 and verse 3, and it says, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. So in other words, you haven't asked properly. And as I, in my own faith journey, think about how I approach my Heavenly Father, I want to make sure that when I take time to commune with Him and discuss things with Him, and when I pray over people, that I'm not asking things just based upon my own emotional needs or based upon my own thought process. I want to engage with Him by the power of His Holy Spirit, to listen to His voice and be able to pray according to what He desires for me to speak over His people. And so in Romans 8, if we took a quick peek there, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to God's will. And that's my heart's desire. And I just want to take a moment and you're kind enough. I love you being my co-host with me. Thank you for participating.
Well, it's hard to get a word in edgewise with you a lot of times.
I know, sometimes.
You know, you're talking about subjects that I don't have a strong opinion on.
But here's our opportunity. That's right. And so thank you for joining with me on this show and just sharing some of our hearts with the listeners about how do we approach our Father? How are we to view this world situation, and how are we supposed to pray over the Ukraine, over the church, and over our brothers and sisters who are going through a very, very real life incident that many of us can't relate to. Yeah. And that's difficult as well. So with the premise of those things, I just want to lead with those couple of scriptures and remind people that everything in this world is spiritual. And in Daniel 10, you know, there's an example of Daniel was praying for the intervention of God, and he was given an angel who came to him and says, well, I was held up for 21 days. I was battling in the heavenlies, and I was resistant. I was resisted until I was able to clear the spiritual battle above the area to come. But yet, here's the thing that the angel told Daniel, is that, but God heard your very first prayer. He heard you from the very beginning. And I want to encourage people that we don't pray in vain. We seek after a good, precious, loving, kind Heavenly Father, and He hears us right out of the gate. He knows exactly what He needs to set up spiritually. That's His domain. That's His fight. I can't go into that realm and fight a battle, but I can ask for that battle and rage against that battle spiritually. And so, you know, first thing that we may want to consider when we pray is, how do we address the spiritual battle in the heavenlies? And so there is a real battle there that we can address. But and that also includes the church. So how do we pray? Mark, as you think through and as you've had many years of ministry, you've listened to many messages. As we think through about praying for the church in this circumstance, what are some of your initial impressions, or what are some of your initial thoughts about how do we pray according to God's will for the church herself?
Well, I think Christians can easily be can kind of go into a spirit of fear.
Yes.
Even Christians, we think, well, you know, secular people do, but so do Christians. Even when the pandemic first started, I was putting a scripture on the air at the top of every hour. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
That's right.
And I think for Christians, we need to pray that way, that we would do everything we do out of a heart of love and faith and commitment and not fear, not reaction, but response, a godly response to every situation. And as we pray for people in Ukraine, they need that. I was just interviewing a person here recently about their relief efforts in Ukraine, and they said like something like 70% of Ukraine can, claims to be Christian. So it's since the fall of the USSR, a lot of people have turned to Christ in that country. There's a lot of Christian relief effort going on. So there is a remnant of Christians in Ukraine.
Absolutely.
And so as we pray for Ukraine, we pray for Christians. But also, some time I spent in Youth with a Mission back in the early 80s, we had a lot of intercessory prayer about situations. And I spent some time in Japan. Now, that's a country that is not Christian, and you could feel, you know, you talk about spiritual darkness and oppression in a country of all these souls of hardly anyone knowing Christ.
Yeah.
You could really sense it.
Even though
it was a very modern country, all of the conveniences that we think of, it was very dark spiritually. And so we had to do a lot of intercessory prayer, and we need that. We need to put on the full armor of God every day and to shield ourselves from the darts of the enemy. Discouragement that comes in our own life, we need to come against that. But I also remember in YWAM, I remember reading a great book. It was called Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. And that really opened my eyes to, again, prayer. We don't understand how it works because we always think, well, God's just going to do what he's going to do and his will. But he has invited us to be a part
Absolutely.
Of what he does, and he will or won't. We don't understand why he will or won't move certain directions and move certain people's hearts unless we pray.
Yes.
And the Bible is replete with examples of that. So we need to take him at his word.
Yes. Yeah. We've been given a crown of authority is what Peter tells us. And indeed, it takes our participation for our Heavenly Father to be enacted and to begin to move according to where he wants to go, according to his will. And there are strong battles. You know, many Christians, we face some health issues, and I may have a headache one day, and I can pray, oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your healing touch upon me, and I can watch that headache dissipate and be removed. But then there's other times when people are facing cancer. That's a very different, bigger battle than it is if we're just facing a headache. There's degrees of spiritual battle that takes a more aggressive approach in our prayer life to actually pull down and shape and give God that authority in the earth realm for him to come in and manifest his great power. Mm. You know, one of the things I've been thinking about, because you talked about that there's certainly a church presence in the Ukraine, but there's also one in Russia.
Yeah.
There's many strong ministries in Russia. And I want to make sure that as believers, we don't associate all of Russia with this issue that's going on.
No,
this is
not at all.
This is really the thought process and the enactment of someone who is completely unstable, who is godless, and who is hoarding and after power. And as I've done some research just on different voices of why is this happening? Why is Putin actually making these advances at this point in time? Most most people that study war and study these things, as at least from what I've been able to research, they really do come back to an age-old fight of nationality and power versus it's really not about the resources. Ukraine is rich with natural resources as well, but that's really not what is happening according to most things that I've read. Yes, that can be a part of it for sure, but really it's about Putin wanting to see Russia built back up to its old glory, to its old power, and that takes the Ukraine. He wants to exert power and authority, and so then he wants to put people in place that agree with his power and authority. Why? Because those men seek power and authority, so we'll pledge allegiance to even someone that we would consider is probably not in his right mind because they seek power and authority. And so this is not an act of the Russian people. This is the act of a Russian who happens to be in charge. And we need to be thinking about our brothers and sisters who are in Russia as well, not just the ones who are being impeded upon in the Ukraine and Kiev and places that will be facing real life and death issues, but also there's a group of people that diametrically oppose what their leadership is doing, and they are going to be needing to stand up with the same strength and the same empowerment and the same boldness to say, no, this is not right, and they will have a repercussion come against them if they dare step up and say, this is not right. So the church on a broader scale, yes, certainly within the Ukrainian borders, but we need to be praying for our Russian brothers and sisters as well, because they're going to be facing a battle that is ever present before them that is going to take that same type of boldness to stand up against the same person who will show unrelenting retribution against anyone who wants to stand up in his way. And so, and the other thing about praying and thinking about the church and the spiritual atmosphere is that now my wife is Romanian. And so we see some pictures coming out of Romania. It is unbelievable. The beauty of the of people rushing to the border to bring in and welcome refugees from the Moldavia and from the Ukrainian area is a picture that leaves you breathless. And that's happening in Romania. That's happening in the Czech Republic. That's happening. Of course, it's not the Czech Republic now. Czech Republic. Yeah, but Slovakia. Slovakia is what I meant to say, which is the border there. It's happening in Poland. It's happening in Hungary. So all of these different bordering countries, that church needs to be called. And my prayer is for those churches as well, and for their leadership to arise and meet such a time as this for the challenge of people rushing across the border. You know, many of these people who are coming out of the Ukraine may forever be displaced. They may never go back to their country. And so what does that look like on a world scale to welcome these people in? So there are people who are giving up their homes, who are giving up their food, who are giving up their finances, who are giving up and laying down their lives in a very real way, who are not a part or not stuck within the borders of Ukraine, but the church needs to arise. And so part of my prayer has been over the church as a whole, that we would stand up and show and demonstrate the beauty and the glory and the majesty and the kindness and the mercy of our God when we are now going to be having a flood of refugees. That some of the news reports are that there's already well over 600,000 refugees that have crossed out of the Ukraine into neighboring countries. That is a massive movement in a week to 2 weeks' time. So we need to pray for the church and that the leadership is sensitive to the Holy Spirit and that they would respond to the call to lay down their lives for the sake of others. This could be an opportunity for a revival in Europe because the church stands up and takes her place. Yeah. Boy, that would be a beautiful sight, wouldn't it?
That would be. And discussing not so much estate issues today, but the estate of the church, the estate of our world with Paul Grant, a Legacy and Faith Show. And if people want to know more about your services otherwise and maybe how they can contact you, how do they do that, Paul?
Well, we do have a website. It's legacyandfaith.com, so you're welcome to go over there and click around and find out what we do as far as my attorney position. But like Mark said, today we're going to be talking about our spiritual needs and the church as a whole. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. We'd love to meet you on a practical level as well.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And a practical discussion this week on how to pray for the Ukraine and situations like that, how to lift up God's people, and some practical advice on prayer this week with Paul. And I'm pitching in maybe a little bit more than normal.
Yeah, please, I pitch in more.
But we are going to pray toward the end of the program
absolutely.
Today.
Stay with us.
So some practical tips on praying for this situation, Paul.
Yeah, there's a couple things that I've jotted down, and so maybe not really a template, but just for us to think about, because we're sitting way over thousands and thousands of miles away from actually being able to possibly step in to the situation. Although, you know, the first thing that we should be praying about is, Father, what role do I play? And actually, I may have scared my firm yesterday because I said, you know what? I have to be willing to lay down everything that I am and answer the call. So am I willing to listen to the Holy Spirit call Paul Grant? And I have a really busy schedule. Unfortunately, my life is pretty dictated by my calendar. And I told my team, I'm telling you right now that if the Holy Spirit were to tell me to go to Romania, where my wife is from, because we would have some relationships and maybe the ability to actually do something with boots on the ground, I just want you to know that I am willing to sacrifice my calendar. Mm. I'm willing to sacrifice some of my business right here. I'm willing to sacrifice my money, if that's what the Father would call me to. I'm willing to sacrifice my time. I'm willing to sacrifice time away. To sleep on the floor, if that's what it takes. And so maybe the first thing that we really need to ensure and check is, are we willing? Are we willing to be the person who answers the call, even though it may be an extraordinary stretch in our own lives? And that may just be a call to prayer, but that's definitively what we can do. So, but I don't want to cut off or only wrap my mindset around that I may not be able to answer the call that the Holy Spirit gives me in totality. So if I am willing, and if believers out there are willing to say, Father, here am I, send me, are we willing to first and foremost pray that? And so let's start with ourselves, and let's listen to what the Holy Spirit may call us to enact. Yes, it's more difficult when we're so far away, when we just don't have the ability to drive down the street and meet a need. So that would be the first thing. But, you know, as we look through the praying eyes of how can I address the spiritual battle? How can I uplift the people in the Ukraine, in Russia, and in the neighboring countries? We talked about praying for the church. So pray for the leaders. That pray for individual Christians. You know, there are real people who may be who are experiencing real life and death issues, and now is a time for them to be bold. So God has planted His people that have wisdom and understanding of who He is, who need to open up their mouth at this point in time. And so we need to pray for boldness. In Acts 28, let me flip my Bible there real quick. Acts 28 and 31, Paul was writing the very last thing. He says that they were preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, and no one forbade them. In other words, with boldness. And it takes boldness. So we need to pray for the church and for our brothers and sisters to be bold at such a time like this, and to use their mouth and to speak the goodness of God in a time when it doesn't look like maybe He's around at all. But people need salvation. And so how many people can we bring into the kingdom of God at this time?
A question for you. Do we pray for Putin to get saved or Putin to be removed?
Yeah, well, one of those, right? It's either yes. It's very difficult, I think, when we look at someone like this that says, boy, this guy is so far from God.
Well,
how does this happen?
What a lot of people are concerned about is this guy is unhinged, very dangerous. No accountability, reading reports that he just is in some ways kind of acting on his own, his own agenda. And I think of even old kings where God would intervene and they'd see, you know, see the handwriting on the wall or some kind of vision that would scare him and he would back down.
Yes.
I mean, that's the kind of prayer I would like to pray about Putin, is that he would have a vision of God's holiness and that he needs to back off.
And even just out of self-protection, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just like, well, I'd really rather not leave this earth right now. I'd rather stay. But unfortunately, he's played his hand, and he can't just now all of a sudden start marching towards Kiev and go, oh, you know what? It's not going as well as I thought, and they're actually resisting me more. So you know what, guys? Just come back home. That is not going to be his play. Unfortunately, he may start feeling more desperate, which may lead to more desperate results.
Yeah,
that's the concern.
That's concerning.
So, yes, praying over him that he is restrained from being led down a more desperate road. Mm. So, therefore, takes more desperate measures within his own mind and with his own thinking.
Yeah.
Yes, the Heavenly Father can certainly intervene over that. Mm. And, you know, our brothers and sisters need strength. So Philippians 4:13, one of the most common strength scriptures, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, they need to face this battle with the strength and with the presence of God next to them. And so there's multiple places that scripture talks about God empowering us for what we are facing. And God has not left our brothers and sisters in Russia, in Ukraine. But he is going to rise up within them and be their strength. In Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And the scripture before that is, when we come with prayer and supplication, we need to pray for the peace of God to be upon our brothers and sisters in the midst of absolute, unbelievable chaos. So we need to pray for peace, to have the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, that is why we have the Holy Spirit in us, that He would give us strength, that He would empower us, that He will give us peace that surpasses our understanding. And so, so we need to be praying for the characteristics of our Heavenly Father to rise up within our brothers and sisters, whether it's in Ukraine, whether it's in Russia, whether it's in Romania, Hungary, Poland, the Czech Republic, and all these other places, that the Church of God would take its place, would take her place, and demonstrate this beauty to a dying world. My hope and my prayer is that there's such an obvious move of God that the world would not be able to explain how this just stopped. How it will happen, though, is by us praying for the church, praying for the leaders, and praying for our brothers and sisters to have that strength, to have that peace, and to have that boldness and wisdom in such a time like this. So why don't we take just a couple minutes and pray over people who need us right now. And so, listening audience, will you join us for a couple minutes? Mark, would you lead out, and I'll kind of close out our show for today as you reach out to our Heavenly Father.
Father, we do come before you today. We're all so concerned about what's going on in Ukraine. These really kind of brother countries, Ukraine and the former Soviet Union. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen the church in Ukraine and in Russia, that they'd be able to stand up, speak out for what's right and for each other, and that war is not the answer. Lord, we pray that you would move on the hearts of Christians in those countries, Lord, to be compassionate and to speak your truth boldly.
Yes, Father.
And also, Lord, we do pray for those in authority in these countries. Lord, we pray for President Zelensky, President Putin. Lord, help them to have a meeting of the minds. And we pray, I dare to pray for the downfall of someone, but Lord, we're not sure what's going on with President Putin, Lord, a very drastic situation. Isolated, Lord, we pray that you break through that fear and ambition on his heart. Lord, we pray that you would break through that and help him to follow a different course and to repent. And Lord, we pray that you would just move in this situation. And also in our own country, Lord, President Biden, we pray you give him wisdom. All of his advisors, we pray for godly wisdom there. Show them how to not escalate this situation, but to peaceably de-escalate these hostilities.
Yes, Father, your hand is able to move upon these world leaders. And your hand is able to intervene in places where we may not even be able to understand the true things that are going on. Lord, I'm looking at Isaiah 54:10. It says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet your unfailing love will not be shaken, nor will your covenant of peace be removed. Father, we ask for your covenant of peace to rise up amongst the leaders of this world, that there would be a radical and miraculous change when they get together. They're speaking even as we are praying right now. They are together. Father, may this prayer reach over across seas and places and touch the heart of leaders, that your peace may be established. And we pray for our brothers and sisters, for the wisdom of the church to arise, for leaders to take their place, that they would have wisdom, that they would have strength, that, Father, they would demonstrate your peace, your boldness in such a time like this, that we would remove fear, because you have not given us a spirit of fear, like Mark said at the beginning, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Father, arise your church. May she take her place in such a time as this, and may a move of the Holy Spirit sweep across Europe at this time, that the church would usher in your presence, your salvation, your peace, your healing that only you can provide in a way that the earth does not understand, but that the earth desperately desires. So, Father, we pray for our Russian, our Ukrainian, and the brothers and sisters who are moving to the front lines for the refugee crisis. May you arise in them. May you be glorified through this. And may your name be found great in all the earth.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.